Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, thanks for joining us this week. So we do have another special episode that we're doing. My guests and I, we've kind of done a series with the COVID-19 and everything that's going on, and we're just trying to be a resource of information and help on how to navigate these very turbulent times. So I do want to start with my quote, which is by Brian Tracy, and Brian says, "Approach each customer with the idea of helping him or her solve a problem or achieve a goal, not selling a product or service." So how are you feeling? Do you feel like you're helping your client improve their situation? Does it feel good when you do that? So why, when we say we need to, and I put in quotes, sell new options to clients who need our service, we start to feel icky and maybe a little bit of uncomfortable. Well, what's the difference? We said in the first sentence that we're helping customers find solutions, and then the second one, I just added the word sell. So why do we feel icky as soon as that word sell comes into the program? Well, like Brian Tracy's quote said, helping each consumer with the idea of selling to solve a problem is always the goal. So it's our responsibility as salespeople to help them find the right solution in whatever situation they're living through. So today, of course, I have an expert. We're doing our third show on the COVID-19. And my guest is Lorianne Reeves. And she is not only an expert on leadership, she's also very experienced from a psychotherapy standpoint. Now, we're going to discuss her new book to some extent. It's called The Easy Ask, Make More Money Having Simple Sales Conversations. Now, in her book, she unravels the psychology behind sales, leading and running a thriving business. And Lorianne is a sales expert in her own right. Now, as an entrepreneur herself for over 20 years, Lorianne helps her clients understand how a business model, sales, and marketing plans all have to align and work together in order to profit and maintain a sustainable business. So please help me welcome my wonderful friend and my partner in crime during this virus a pandemic, Lorianne Reeves, to the show. So Lorianne, thanks for being on.
Oh, thanks, Connie. I appreciate you having me again. Fantastic.
Yeah, and I think that I hope people are finding this as a, you know, value-added resource of information, because these are times that we've never had to navigate before. So I think it's important that we're exploring these different conversations and trying to bring information back to people listening. So what started this show, or the topic for this show, is Lorianne and I were speaking after one of the other shows, and I mentioned that someone said to me, "You should be giving, you know, stuff away for free." And I said that to Lorianne. I said, "What? Yes, we're doing this. This is a free resource. I'm working with clients and I'm helping them." Again, a free resource. Of course, we're all in this together. But to give my content or to give my class away, I was a little taken back, because that's, you know, 30 years of proprietary experience and information to give it away. So I felt that, if I'm feeling that way, what are other people, right, business owners and entrepreneurs feeling, and people who are in sales, if they're feeling the same way? So Lorianne's idea was, we need to do a show about this, right, Lorianne?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your clients, my clients. How are the business owners feeling, or they're feeling right now, about that whole, you know, sales right now with everything going on with the virus?
Yeah. So not only, you know, did you have an experience with someone telling you that, but I have seen so far on Facebook and even on LinkedIn, people shaming other people for making offers. And I just don't, as a business owner, I don't see how a business owner stays in business if they're not bringing any money in. So there's the dual purpose right now in COVID-19 of, how do I figure out the next 14 days in a crisis mode, and then the next 3 to 6 months in maintenance, and still bring some money in, maybe not as much as before, but definitely bring some money in. But it looks different because the context is different. Sales looks different now because of that. The psychology is different. And also how people, other people are feeling towards business. They're not happy. They're not working. They're afraid of their bills not being paid. They're afraid their mortgage is not going to get paid. So all this is wrapped up in that. So a comment I do want to make on that free stuff, Connie, is this. I feel that people should be generous during this time.
Agreed. But it
should, your generosity needs to come from your heart. If it doesn't come from your heart, then it is coming from a lack of mentality, a lack of abundance mentality, a money pattern, a money trigger. And every time you try to give away something that you think may get you some exposure, the outcome won't be what you want because you're giving away based on fear. So that's why there's a difference between giving away from your heart and giving away from scarcity.
Absolutely. And the person who commented me, it was definitely a comment from scarcity. And I think that's what took me back, because I feel I am extremely giving and altruistic, not only in my personal life, but in my business life. And I know examples help our listeners. So, and I'll give an example and then maybe you can as well. So I have one client. And they, you know, I talk to all my clients on a fairly regular basis, whether it's email or actually a conference call or a Zoom meeting. And so my one client, I said, listen, I don't know what you need from me right now. We stopped everything, right? And they're one of my better clients. And she said, you know, we were talking, we'd like to do maybe like a webinar for our top leadership group, right? That are front line with customers. Are they handling their employees properly that we're handling the customers properly, right? Because we don't ever want to affect our customer service. And I said, oh my goodness, absolutely. Let's talk about it. Let's come up with a topic and we'll run that seminar. So that's what we're doing. Now, the funny thing is, I met with them again yesterday. We're doing it next week, which is wonderful. And from that conversation, they said, you know, we have to figure this out because business is not going back the way it was. So can we use this as a pilot and maybe transition over to doing training like we do live? We have to start doing something in the remote realm. Can this pilot, and then can we build my classes that I teach now, can maybe we start rolling some out, you know, from the live perspective, doing it remotely? Like, absolutely. Let's start with this. Let's get the kinks out. And then that's something we can do 4 weeks down the road when we get a little bit better vibe of what's going on. No pressure from me. It was their idea. But it came because I reached out and said, how can I help you right here, right now? What do you need from me? And sometimes it's just a voice outside of your regular manager to help you. And now we're talking about doing remote training, which is my business. But I'm not going to give that away because they're my client and they pay for this. That's my service. So I think people have to understand doing stuff for free is okay. But if there's an opportunity for that sale or for that contract to remain in force, you don't give that away. So I don't know. Do you have an example?
Yeah, you don't give it away, but I'll just take the airline example from at the beginning of all this. They were affected first, right? I mean, airlines, hotels, and when you go to, I had a lot of things booked for the March, April, May. Now my June stuff is being canceled. So I would get on, and a couple of airlines and hotels, I'm in their exclusive programs, and usually you get treated like a queen. And I wasn't at first because fear was coming from the leadership and rolling downhill to customer service. And that's really what you're talking about. How can we prepare leaders and managers during COVID-19 in a way that conveys a strong, positive message in a realistic way? So they're people who are the front line with customers and clients. The clients aren't feeling that, because if they feel that, they won't do business with you.
Absolutely.
They will not do business with you. What you are selling, when you do that, when you have that under control with your managers and it rolls down hill to frontline people with clients and customers, you are selling not only your products and services, but you're selling certainty. And that's what people need right now is certainty.
It's true. And you do damage now when all this is over.
Right.
people are going to remember it and say, yeah, you didn't step up for me. You didn't try to help me. You were just worried about your own stuff. It's that poverty mentality again. Instead of saying, holy smokes, we're all in this together. What do we need to do? How do we rally the troops? How do we maintain, you know, quality customer service? And I don't know, Lorianne, and I know you feel this way with your clients. I'm part of their team. I don't feel that I'm an outsider or a vendor. I'm part of their team. So why wouldn't I step up and say, what do you need from me? I'm a cog in the wheel to help you keep moving forward. You know what's going on day to day in the trenches and the chaos. How can I help that? Or how can I remediate? Or how can I, you know, calm people down? Whatever it is that they need from you or I or any of the other people out there that are listening, right?
Yeah, I had a great a Zoom meeting, of course, yesterday with a client. Yeah, like we all have. And, you know, she asked me a question and about payment. And her and I worked out a plan to extend payment beyond the contract right now to lower the payment. So I sent an addendum to the contract saying that she still needs to pay the full amount, but we're going to stretch it out so she can handle it right now. I mean, that is how you have to be flexible and you have to protect your clients, because if I did not do that, I'm telling you, the minute she could, she would have dumped me and she would be pissed off at me.
Absolutely. That's okay. It's okay. I say crap and stuff all the time. But you're exactly right, because, but you understand that the money is tight coming in. So you're living it too. I am living it too. So of course you want to be compassionate, right?
Right. I did ask her, I said, because her payment's coming up. I said, can you make this month's payment in full, and then from May moving forward, we'll create that new plan? And she was good with that. So
absolutely,
I got something, I got my full amount for this month, because she did ask me at the last minute. And so I got something and she gets something more from me, which is probably a 9-month extension plan, payment plan.
But that's okay. That's okay. And you said it worked for you. It worked for her. And I'll share with you, I'm writing the book, right? And I'm creating I'm creating my own digital platform, not because of COVID-19. I was doing this starting last year, starting to put all the pieces of the puzzle. You did it last year. I'm doing it this year. And I have a team of social media people. They're rebranding, doing my website, everything. Well, the contract ended last month. So they said, we have all this momentum. What do you want to do? And I said, we need to keep moving forward. I don't want to stall, because this is my business. This is a potential additional revenue stream. They understood. They understood that I had no income coming in. So we talked about it and I said, can we manipulate and scale back, but keep the momentum going? And then once income starts coming in, we scale up again. They were like, absolutely. Great idea. How does this sound? And we negotiated through that, and it worked for them, and it worked for me. And I'm keeping my business moving forward, because you can't, and that's for all our business owners. We can't just stop and wait and see for 6 months. We'll be out of business by then.
There's no business to go back to. There's no business.
Yeah. We need to pivot. We need to pivot.
Pivot. You need to reposition, pivot, and pivot. And pivot.
and figure it out. But you can't abandon everything you were doing to grow your business pre-COVID versus post-COVID. We have to keep that momentum going. And again, maybe shifting to the digital realm like I'm doing, you did, a lot of my clients are doing now as well. What steps can business owners take to try to protect their business? We're all losing money, so I'm not going to say from us losing money, but for us to remain in business, kind of build on what we were just saying.
Right. So we already talked about the first one is to really work extremely well with your current clients. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to do that. The second piece that I think people really need to hear, because we're all kind of waiting for the recovery. We don't know if it's going to be May, June, the summer. We have no idea.
Yeah.
But your current clients will have so many new options once the recovery happens that they're going to be inundated with other people that do the same thing that you do. And if you don't protect them now and work with them now and talk about the future with them on a consistent basis, okay, when you get to this point, we're going to implement this. When you get to this, you will lose a really good client, not because you did something wrong, but because they have options and now they're going to, that we're human beings. We go, oh, I never thought about doing it this way. Maybe that's best for my business. So it's important now, well, you also need to pivot with your clients and be ready for the future and go, be able to go immediately to the recovery phase with them so no one else takes them away from you.
Yeah. It, we're talking, guys, communicate. You have to communicate. And just like Lorian and I said from the onset, you need to communicate from a place of giving that. Yeah. How can I possibly help you now? And let's continue to talk as this unravels, right? As we know more, as the curve flattens, all these things that they're talking about in the media and with the CDC. But once we get to that point where we know we're going to come out the other side and kind of go back to business as usual, if I'm talking or you're talking to your clients throughout those steps, you're seeing beforehand how we can continue the partnership and for us to shift to support them in a different way, maybe edit contracts, whatever is needed, you need to be able to do that. But if you're not communicating the whole time, you can't partner and foresee what service or what products or however you can help them post the COVID-19. And here's the other thing, Lorian, someone said this recently to me and I was like, holy smokes, I never thought of that. We go through the flu season every year. So somebody, I think, in the health, you know, I don't know if it was CDC or not, so I'm not going to say that's who it was, but they said, are we going to go through this COVID-19 seasonally like we do with the flu? So if that's the case, how can we start to plan with our clients that if this does happen next year, we continue business as usual, we all go remote again, and then how do we continue to flow and thrive? So we need to put all of these potentials, even for 2021, and anticipate what might potentially happen. So that's our job, I think, is to be strategic partners.
Right. So right now you need to be a master strategist with your current client. You need to be a master strategist how to help them in the next 30 days, 90 days, through the recovery period, and be ready for the growth period. And if this turns out, I think it'll be something we do every year. I think it'll be a shorter period because more, they're going to find a vaccine. More and more people will be vaccinated. But if there comes a period in time where for 2 weeks everyone has to shut down instead of the 3 months we're looking at maybe, then you have to have that as part of your strategic plan. And you have to talk, not future, the word's not coming to me, but not like so positive there's no way that's going to happen.
Right.
You know, like don't be in la la land about the future.
Right.
Because I see a lot of that on Facebook. You have to be positive and realistic at the same time, but you do have to say, okay, when this starts shifting for your business, this is the program we're going to put in, or this is the service we're going to do for you. This is what we would normally have done in the past, but because you've been a loyal client, it's only going to be an additional $2,000 instead of $6,000. You know, some version of making sure you hang on to them because they have more options than ever.
And we're proving that to ourselves right now because everybody, I saw a statistic yesterday. I think in December of 2019, there were 12 million Zoom owners, you know, that we purchased the software. Yesterday, as of yesterday or this week, I think it was 200 million. So people are, it's the software's there. It's easy to use. It's easy to navigate. Most of us have cameras on our computer. If not, you have it on your phone. So it's easy to have these Zoom meetings that are happening. One of my my clients who never, no one worked remotely in their organization. Now everyone is. And we had a meeting yesterday and she said, we're not going back to the way it was. We have to make it available. We can't have so many people in one space anymore. So we need to continue with this remote, whatever that looks like as a possibility, even if it's 1 or 2 days a week. So we don't have the population we had in these corporate buildings. So I said, you're right. So see, I was like, you're right. You're thinking ahead. But I wouldn't have known that if we didn't have the conversation to see how maybe I can help them with information that they might need. An article I read that I could forward to them. Funny, we just had this conversation. Here's an article I read. It might help with your strategizing for post-COVID-19. You don't know, but you have to have the conversations to be able to help. I think that's the critical thing.
You have to have lots of conversations right now.
Yeah. Why do you think people are in this panic of, I got to give everything away for free? What's the psychology behind that, Lorianne?
Well, they're fearful. It's also a money trigger, meaning that they're probably the ones that are hanging on by the skin of their teeth financially. And it mostly taps into deep, rooted stuff that happened probably between the ages of 0 and 7 around money, around leadership, around how they make decisions, because we go backwards when we're under stress. We go backwards to how we kept ourselves safe and secure between 0 and 7. And usually how we did that as a kid worked well then, but it doesn't work as an adult. So people are going way back. They don't recognize it. They're trying to find some sense of security and safety, and it's all from a money trigger. It's all around that decision-making and leadership. Those three things are being tapped into really strong.
Can you give an example of that you've seen with your clients in the past where that trigger happens and they regress back? Can you give an example?
So one of my favorite sayings is no sales, no money, no business with my clients and prior to COVID-19. So anyone that was fearful of sales is now even at the extreme level of sales. But the private conversations are, well, how do I get money? How do I get money? It's that heightened conversation around almost childlike. Around how to get money. And so a good example is you have to work hard for your money. Let's say you heard that as a kid. Well, if I'm working hard, but they're like on overdrive and they're doing it and no money's coming in, and working hard for your money is actually a money trigger from the past. So it doesn't serve them well now. It's not that I'm not advocating to work hard. I'm not. But if it comes from a money pattern or a money trigger from the past, it's not going to serve you. So when you have this urgency around selling and yet hating it at the same time, there's a clash going on psychologically that people cannot, they can't get a handle on it. So it just makes them even more afraid.
It's so funny that as you were saying that, because I grew up, got to work hard.
Yep.
I work hard. I don't know anybody that my kids say nobody works harder than you, Mom, because I just work. But here's the thing. I like to work because I'm good at it. So it's easy for me. It's comfortable. That's really what it is. It's a comfort thing for me. But I years ago would work so hard and feel like, oh, I'm never getting ahead, and I'll work harder and I'm never getting ahead.
That's the difference.
Now I work hard because I love it and things happen and I'm like, oh, I could do that now. But I don't go, oh, I have to do that. If I do that, I'll work harder. And then that'll bring in that. It's not, I don't come from that place of, I got to work harder. Now I'm like, I see the opportunity and I think, oh, that could be fun. I'm going to write a book. That'd be nice. Now, is it hard work to do that? Way out of my comfort zone, but it was fun, right? You did it too. It was fun because I knew for me, my own growth was the next thing I needed to do. So these opportunities aren't, I need to work harder to make money. It's I need to work harder to become a better version of me. Big difference in that work harder mentality.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's about 50% of the population are just workers. It's part of their makeup. And it's not that other people aren't workers, but there's people like, I'm kind of like you. I like to work. My mother worked until she was 86, not because she needed the money. She liked to work. And about 50% of the population is that way. And they just like to work. And they have the energy for it. And they just go and do. And as long as it's part of who they are, mm-hmm. their real selves, then mm-hmm. working hard is not the issue. But when it's triggered from lack, from feeling like if you don't do it, you're not going to be successful, or people are going to hate you, or you're not going to make any money, then it doesn't work for you.
Because you're coming from the wrong mental perspective of, yes. I got to work harder. And here's the reality. When you feel that way, and I lived it, you can never work hard enough. You will never be, for the amount of effort you're putting out, you will never be financially rewarded to the level of effort. And when it is, and this is the other thing, I'm getting old, clearly, in my words of wisdom here. But as I find my flow, I know they call it flow out there, but even when I'm working hard because I'm enjoying it, more money comes in, and then I do more, and it's like you're creating opportunity, but it's with little effort, meaning I'm still working hard because I like to work. Like you said, I like to work. My dad worked until he was, I think his last patent was like 70, he was 75 years old. He's going to be 90 this year. Right. So it's good gene. We had good genes, Loria, good breeding, but that, I work hard, but I enjoy it. So that now opportunities, and I'm in flow. I'm not stressed out over work. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yeah. So something you're just bringing up is when you, whatever the trigger is. So we're using working hard as an example. You can't, when you do it from a psychological position of lack, you can't see those opportunities. But if you're working and you're, you use the word flow, so we'll go ahead and use it, then opportunities show up and you see them. Even when you work hard from a trigger, opportunities show up, but you're so focused on the trigger and you are motivated psychologically, you're not even aware of it, that you don't see those same opportunities someone like you would see right now.
And I think it's the same thing with the word sell. When people come to my classes and they say, I'm not good at sales. And I go, really, why? And they say, I don't want to be pushy. I go, woo, I'm good at sales. Am I pushy? No, but you're not pushy. I go, but I'm good at sales. So why is it okay for me and not for you? And as soon as you start talking like Brian Tracy's quote, that mm-hmm. you're coming from a place of, let me help you. Let me be the solution or help you with the solution. You're selling, because if you're not selling, how could you make a recommendation to make your client better off? So I think that word sales, why do people freak out about sales? Fear, is it learned?
It makes them very visible. Besides money, there are not too many other topics that trigger so much for the greater population as money, because we need it to live. Money, you know,
that's true.
Money is in everything, but money touches everything.
Yep.
And so it has a long history of being a vital component in some way for people to survive. This is why not working right now is triggering so much insecurity in everyone. And so the psychological factors, it runs deep. And money, listen, when I had my private practice as a marriage and family therapist, they would tell me everything. What goes on in the bedroom? Who said what to who? Who cussed at who? Who cheats on who? Ask about money, dead silence.
Really?
So it doesn't matter what business you're in, money is a trigger for the majority of people. And that's why sales is a problem. So psychologically, sales taps into several things. Them being having to ask for money, because who are they to ask? Because that story probably came. They'd have to be visible. They'd have to be bigger than who they want to be, meaning like, I need to play small, because some families where children are to be seen and not heard.
Absolutely.
So think about how that plays a factor in sales. So all those things have some psychological component that showed up between 0 and 7 and affects your ability to sell.
So here's the message, guys. Figure out what that trigger is for you, especially my entrepreneurs. You got to stop. You have to give things away. I'm not saying not to be helpful and altruistic and be right. So absolutely, everything you do should be from your heart, and not worrying about, well, if I do this, they're going to pay me. That's not what we're talking about. That's horrible to me. That's icky. Okay, but well, you have to be visible, and it's okay to do something free and say, listen, if you need more help in growing your business, so that when you come out the other side, like my social media team, I knew I needed to keep them. We had to negotiate how that was going to work, and they were happy to work with me. They understood. So no one's going to go, you're charging me? It's your stuff. You, of course, you have to charge, but maybe work out, like Lorianne, you said, extend the contract or right, something to make it more digestible right now. When the money starts coming in, they could do the catch up at that point. What do you think? What will be the new economy after everybody goes back to work?
I love this question because I'm so hot to trot on it. It is going to be the expert economy. It will be, if you can't do great work, deep work, prove that you're an expert, it is not going to be the Instagrammable way to do business anymore. You have to be able to prove the results you get for people before they hire you. And I also think the sales process will take longer, because people have to, what's happening now, there are a lot of trust factors being broken from the government down to people screaming and yelling at each other because they're living with each other more than usual, or they didn't trust teachers as much anymore. Teachers have the opposite. They're being trusted more because this homeschooling stuff is crazy if you have little ones. But the trust is a must. So, and it's being broken a lot along the way right now because we can't trust all the information we're getting, even from the companies we work for, even from ourselves, because we don't know what to do. And I think if you can establish trust, your expertise, prove it, solve a problem, get results, you will have an outstanding business once we get past the recovery period.
And I want to just comment on that, because I don't know if you're hearing the same thing on social media. Oh, I'm Netflixed out. I'm bored. And I'm thinking to myself, right, Lorianne? I am busy. I keep saying to my husband, I'm busier than I've ever been. No money's coming in, but that's okay. Down the road, this will pay off, right? I get up.
With someone, I've never worked so much harder and without money coming in.
Totally.
Because you have to keep yourself visible out there. And this showed us where all the gaps are in our business. So I'm plugging. I mean, we're all human. We don't do our businesses 100% correct across the board. We have our strengths and we have our weaknesses. So I'm shoring up my gaps right now. That's why I'm working harder, because I don't want to be ready when the economy, you know, starts taking a turn.
And it's funny, if you're Netflixed out and you're bored, I highly recommend, there is so much information out there. Learn a new skill. Get better at spreadsheets. Become a PowerPoint expert if that's what your company's using. I don't know. But if you're bored, to me, that it just blows my mind. Again, I think because I just like to work, that the thought of not working and sitting and putting my feet up and watching TV all day, I'd kill myself. I know me, I'd kill myself. So I think that it causes depression as well. So jump on your computer, do an online class. There really is so much free information out there. Hone up your Excel skills. Excel is a needed resource today in most companies to gather reports and stuff. But if you're bored, that should be a trigger. Let me look on the internet. What book haven't I read? What, you know, go and read Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, a great book, right? Read The Alchemist, another great book that everybody should have read in their lifetime. So read something that's going to make you remain relevant when all of this is said and done. And you're right, Lorianne, I think that strategic thinking as well as becoming an expert. So people should think about drilling a mile deep, not a mile wide. So a mile wide is not good. An inch wide and a mile deep is really where you want that expertise to go. Did I understand that correctly, what you were saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Guys, we're out of time. I really hope our examples today, some of the strategies, Lorianne's psychology of where those money issues, working hard, and the whole sales component, because you make yourself visible and you're asking again for money. That's where that's coming from. Identify those triggers and then come back and see what skills you need to hone and develop so that after all is said and done, you are that expert that people are looking for. Start to build your strategic thinking as well. I do agree with that too. You have to see things from a different perspective to be able to help your clients in whatever this new wave or this new this new world that we're going to enter into after COVID's over. Yeah. Anything else, Lorianne, that you just want to share before I give your information and mine?
The only thing I'll say is be radically honest with yourself. And if you can't do this work yourself, there's enough free stuff that you can find online. And if you are in a position where you can get help, the best thing I can tell you is invest in you, and then your business will flourish once we get out of this.
Yeah.
And that's my best advice.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to spend a little money like I'm doing on my social media. I needed to become more visible. That was definitely a gap in my business. Yeah. And everything went crazy, and I knew I couldn't stop, even though every ounce of me, guys, is saying, you don't have money for this. What, are you crazy? But I'm crazy if I don't. So we have to invest in ourselves. Don't be afraid to. I'm not saying go and spend $1 million on self-development. Do it responsibly. But I do think we need to continue to fortify ourselves and grow our knowledge base. Yeah, absolutely. Guys, Lorianne is an email away. You can reach her at Lorianne@LorianneReeves.com. Of course, I'm going to post it on my platform, Enlightenment of Change, so you guys could find her. Also, go on her website, another wealth of information, at LorianneReeves.com. My website is under construction. It's almost complete. It's out there, so yeah, and I'm putting a free resource page so that there's a lot of information that people can, you know, tap into and gather. So go to WhitmanAssoce.com, and again, check it out. It came out really nice. My team did a really great job. If you have questions direct for me, email me at Connie@WhitmanAssoce.com. So Lorianne@LorianneReeves.com, Connie@WhitmanAssoce.com. I will post both for everybody. Lorianne, thank you again.
You're
for
welcome.
Coming, because I know that you really are. We really are busy, even though we're not earning anything. We're still busy. But I do appreciate that you came on to talk about this, because I think fear is real. And I think if we can help people breathe, we did our job. And I hope that the information we're sharing is a good resource for people out there who, you know, now have the time maybe to listen to podcasts and self-educate themselves. So really, thank you again for being on.
You're welcome.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, my friend. You guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change, if this has not proved that change is inevitable and not always chosen, it is what it is. We need to move forward through that. So whatever change you're encountering beyond the COVID-19, you gotta figure it out, and you really do have to step up and develop your own skills. So don't be afraid to try something new. Challenge that comfort zone. That's where the magic really does happen. Thank you all for joining me. Lorianne, thank you again for being just an amazing guest. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish everyone an inspired week, and absolutely please remain healthy and safe and stay inside. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman and Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, WhitmanAssoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.